Just 8 days after her wedding, Christina Kettlewell was found dead, face down in 9 inches of water outside her honeymoon cabin. Accident or something much more sinister? This is Avery After Dark, and I'm your host, Avery Ross. We have an eerie mystery today, the case of the 8-day bride. The deeper we go into this, the stranger it gets. This is the mystery of the 8-day bride. Christina Cecilia McCone was 22 years old, bright, soft-spoken, and religious. Her parents were Polish immigrants living in Toronto, devoted Catholics that valued family, faith, and tradition. She worked at a bank, and her coworkers said that she was very capable. When she fell in love with a man named John Jack Kettlewell, her family disapproved. The couple had been together for about 3 years, but Jack wasn't Catholic. He was older, 26, and was a World War II veteran. He worked odd jobs, but that wasn't all. There was something very strange about the couple. Christina's family was concerned. The couple spent an inordinate amount of time with Jack's best friend, a man named Ronald Berry, a 28-year-old immigrant from Italy, a professional ballroom dancer. Christina's sister Helen said it was confusing, the relationship between the three. She said she believed that Ronald was actually in love with Christina. It was sort of an odd trio. They did everything together. So there's kind of a little bit of a love triangle dynamic to this, and it's about to get really strange. Ronald was eccentric and intense, charming, but also controlling. He'd known Jack for years and seemed to insert himself into every part of Jack's life, and soon into Christina's. But as we know, love can be defiant and blind. On May 12, 1947, Christina and Jack secretly married in a small civil ceremony. No church, no priest, no family. And the wedding was a surprise to Christina's family. The only witness was Ronald Berry, Jack's best friend, a man who would later become central to the mystery that followed. After they married, the couple spent a few days in an apartment in Toronto. But then on May 17th, Jack, Christina, and Ronald left Toronto for a secluded honeymoon cabin that Ronald owned near Severn Falls, Ontario. Weird. Bizarre. You get married and you bring your friend along for the entire honeymoon? That's strange. The three of them made their way out to the remote cottage. The cabin sat alone on the edge of a quiet river. And here's the big thing, it was only reachable by boat, so it was very secluded. It was really just going to be the three of them out there, alone, which is so eerie. If this was a normal situation for normal newlyweds, this would have been quite nice, but it wasn't. Neighbors saw Jack and Ronald rowing into town for supplies, but rarely ever saw Christina. When neighbors and locals did see Christina, they say she looked frightened, like something or someone had really scared her. One woman said she remembered looking down at Christina's hands and said they were trembling as she paid for groceries. Another said Christina asked how far it was to the local train station. So we got some major red flags here. If I got married and my husband brought his best friend along, you know, I don't think I'd be big on that. I'd definitely be rethinking things. But there was something clearly very wrong with Christina. Ronald later told police that Christina seemed unstable, depressed, prone to panic, saying that she would go into these crying fits at the cabin, and at other points seemed dazed. Again, this is just from Ronald's mouth, but her parents later said she wasn't mentally ill, she was terrified, and maybe she had reason to be. There was also evidence that there was a conversation on this honeymoon between Christina and Ronald, and apparently Christina asked if Jack really loved her. And then things take a really bizarre turn. On the night of May 20th, 8 days after her wedding, Christina disappeared from the cabin. That same day, neighbors spotted it. The honeymoon cabin was mysteriously up in flames. Neighbors saw the fire from the water. Orange blaze lighting the trees. By the time help arrived, the cabin was almost gone. Ronald claimed he dragged Jack out of the fire before it spread, but he was burned, disoriented, and had a head wound. But Christina was still missing. They couldn't find her anywhere, or so they said. No sign of her outside. From here, Ronald gets Jack onto the boat, and they leave for Severn Falls to get help for Jack's head injury and alert authorities. Christina is still missing, nowhere to be found. She's not in the cabin. So firefighters arrive at the cabin and begin trying to put out the fire. 2 hours later, a volunteer firefighter searching the nearby riverbank made a grim discovery. Just 150 feet from the burned cabin, floating face down in 9 inches of water, was Christina's body. She wore only a nightgown and a robe. She had no burns or defensive wounds. It didn't appear she even tried to swim. At first, police said she drowned while fleeing the fire, but the autopsy changed everything. There was no smoke in her lungs, meaning she was already dead before the fire began, and her blood contained a heavy dose of codeine, enough to sedate her completely. But the official cause of death was ruled as drowning. So how does a sedated woman drown in 9 inches of water? And how did the cabin catch on fire? The investigation began immediately and quickly tangled itself in contradictions. Major Lawrence Scarfield made a strange observation, telling investigators that he had been to the exact area where Christina was later discovered, and he said she wasn't there. He went over to the area to fetch water from the river to help with the fire, and there was no sign of anyone. So she wasn't there, and then a couple hours later, she was. This immediately raised the question, was she moved? Jack was treated at the hospital. Doctors found he had a head injury, was burned, was in shock, and also was drugged. Again, codeine. He was interrogated for hours after he was released from the hospital and told investigators that he didn't remember anything after 11 a.m. that day. It was just a blur. He didn't remember the fire starting. He didn't remember anything. Ronald was questioned by police for over 12 hours and said he was in another cabin nearby, heard screams, and ran to rescue Jack. But by the time he returned, Christina was gone. Yet neighbors asked, what nearby cabin? Neighbors and locals insisted there was only one cabin in that area. So where was this mystery cabin he was spending time at? Even stranger, there were signs that the fire had been set intentionally and that it started after Christina disappeared. Then came the financial twist. Ronald's cabin, the one that burned, had recently been insured. Ronald had taken out a $5,000 Canadian dollar insurance policy on the cabin that was now in ruins. And that's not all. Jack had taken out a life insurance policy on Christina before the honeymoon, with a clause that stated he would receive double if there was an accidental death. And that's when the rumors began. Was Christina's death an accident or an insurance scam gone wrong? The holidays are right around the corner, and every year I struggle with what to get my friends and family. But this year, with the help of Lola Blankets, it's gonna be a breeze. These colder nights, it's all about comfort and coziness. And gifting a Lola blanket is like wrapping those you love in warmth and luxury. I can honestly say I use my Lola blanket every day. And Lola is the world's number one blanket, crafted with ultra-soft, luxury vegan faux fur and a signature four-way stretch that sets it apart. It's so cute, I just got 2 new kittens and they love the Lola blanket. It's like clockwork. As soon as I sit down on the couch with my Lola blanket, here they come. They cozy up on it. Lola has over 10,000 five-star reviews, and once you feel it, you'll know why. I have the large, and it's perfect for cozying up solo or with someone else, or 2 kittens. Give the gift of softness this holiday season with Lola blankets. For a limited time, our listeners are getting a huge 40% off their entire order at lolablankets.com by using code AFTERDARK at checkout. Just head to lolablankets.com and use code AFTERDARK for 40% off. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. By June, the coroner's inquest was underway in Bracebridge, Ontario. This was not a trial for murder. Jack nor Ronald had been charged with anything, but this was to see if there appeared to be any foul play in this case. And this story became a massive spectacle. Every seat in the courtroom was filled. Reporters jostled for a space. It was the most sensational case in Canada that year. and Ronald took the stand first. He claimed Christina was emotionally disturbed, that she had actually tried to take her own life weeks before, even trying to throw herself from a bridge. Reports stated she had written a goodbye note addressed to Ronald 5 weeks before the wedding. And in this note, she speaks of poisoning herself and the uncertainty if Jack will ever commit to her and propose. And there was reportedly more than one goodbye note written by Christina. And there was an intensity about not wanting Jack to be with anyone else. And in the front row is Christina's family, and they don't believe any of this. They say it's not true. Jack took the stand next, and his hands were wrapped in bandages. Like we discussed, he said he remembered almost nothing from that night, and that he awoke outside, the cabin on fire, Ronald hovering over him. When asked if he loved Christina, he said, yes, of course. But the court wasn't convinced. The prosecutor called his demeanor mechanical, and the jury called it odd. There was evidence shared in court that Christina was very uncomfortable with the unnatural conduct of her husband and Ronald. This trio was always kind of strange. As I mentioned, Christina's parents thought it was bizarre from the beginning. So did Christina find something out on that honeymoon that made her question everything and regret the marriage? And there was one final letter written by Christina, addressed to a woman named Mrs. Thomas, a friend from Mimico. This note was written the day before she died. It read, "Ronnie is in the boat outside somewhere. By the time he gets back, everything will be all over with. He must have been afraid something would happen because he is staying an extra day to make sure we go back to Toronto with him." ... She gave this letter to Ronald and asked him to send it for her, but he never did, and the next day, Christina disappears and is later found dead, and the cabin is burned to the ground. And all of these letters were confirmed by a handwriting expert to be Christina's. Ronald held on to all these letters from Christina and never told Jack about them, not until this little inquest. And it gets even weirder. These letters were inside the cabin. So in the fiery blaze, Ronald made sure he grabbed these letters to take with him. So to imagine, this cabin is burning to the ground and he runs in and makes sure that he takes the letters? Why would that even be a priority? After 9 days of testimony, the coroner's jury ruled Christina Kettlewell met her death by drowning. There were traces of codeine in her system. Circumstances point to foul play, but there is insufficient evidence to determine by whom. So in other words, there are suspicious aspects of this case, but there isn't enough evidence to point to a specific person. No one was charged, but no one was cleared. And the mystery stayed a mystery, but Christina's parents never accepted that verdict. They believed that their daughter was murdered. Her mother, Mary McCone, told reporters, "My daughter was happy before she met that man. She wrote to me saying she wanted to come home. She said she was afraid." Christina's mom, Mary, said her faith was very important to her and that taking her own life was a mortal sin and her daughter would not have chosen that path. And even if she had, how did it explain the fire, the codeine, and the missing time? This case is going in a million different directions and it's about to get even more twisted. There was another strange detail in one of Ronald's lengthy statements to police or during the inquest. And Ronald deviated from his original statement, saying he did see Christina inside the cottage as it burned. One report stated that he said he came back after sunbathing and walked into the cabin to see the couple. Jack had an injury to his face. He was disoriented. When he asked Christina what happened, she had tears in her eyes and didn't say. So this is a completely different story than what he originally told investigators. He noted there was a coal oil smell in the house and smoke emerging from the kitchen. Ronald then carries Jack outside, goes back inside to get blankets, and sees Christina for the last time. When he gets back into the cabin, he says Christina is gone. She had disappeared. Now, give me a minute. I gotta wrap my head around this. This doesn't match the autopsy results because there was no smoke in Christina's lungs. And it's just jarring because this is completely different than what he initially told investigators. He did see her, he didn't see her. You know, what is the truth? A lawyer in the inquest named C.P. Hope went on the record saying that through this investigation, he found one of the three to be a complete and blatant liar. He described as a sinister figure who is shrouded in mystery, and that person was Ronald. CP also stated that he believed that Jack and Ronald were intimately involved. And there was a report that Jack confirmed this to investigators, but later said that he was actually coerced into saying that. Another thing that was never recovered was Christina's wedding ring. There was also a lot of mystery around where it came from. Who purchased it? Did Jack purchase it? Someone else said that it was borrowed from a friend. But the ring was never discovered, which is very strange because you would think it would have been on Christina's finger. But investigators never found it. Mary carried her daughter's rosary beads in her pocket every day until she died. And Christina's sister Helen claimed that Christina was drugged prior to the wedding, and when she realized what happened, she just went along with it and said it seemed like Christina feared Jack and Ronald. And this really goes along with what locals and neighbors saw, that Christina seemed very scared. If you remember, that one witness said that her hands were trembling as she was trying to pay for groceries. So rest in peace to Christina. Think about yourself at 22 years old, that you get wrapped up into this relationship and you kind of find out that it's not good. There's a very strange dynamic here. I can imagine a 22-year-old really not knowing what to do. You know, 22 years old, you don't know what the heck you're doing. You know, I mean, I think about myself at 22 and you're just kind of bebopping around. There are various theories in this case. Let's discuss them. The first one would be that Christina took her own life at the cabin. Overwhelmed by isolation and guilt over defying her family's wishes, faith, this theory suggests that she ingested the codeine and walked into the river. But her parents insist she was planning to return home. And we do have evidence that she asked where the train station was. So to me, that points to someone trying to get out of this situation. Her parents maintain that she didn't want to die. The next theory, that this was an accident, that something happened between her and Jack at the cabin that day. She fled and was disoriented. As she was sedated from the codeine, she fell and drowned. But how did the fire start after she left? And who gave her the codeine? Where did that come from? Theory three, murder. Jack and Ronald, bound by this friendship, relationship, staged her death. A love triangle, a plot. As we discussed, before the marriage, Jack took out a life insurance policy on himself and Christina for $5,000 in Canadian currency. And in this, a clause had stated that the beneficiary would collect twice the amount if the death was ruled accidental. This was Canadian currency, but today this would be around $200,000, US dollars. It's a lot of money. But here is the kicker. Guess who was named as beneficiary on both of those policies? Ronald. And we talked about that policy that Ronald took out on the cabin. Guess who was the beneficiary on that? Jack. So clearly, these men were very intertwined in one another. And many believe this could have been a plot to receive numerous payouts. Both men would stand to gain a lot of money from this. And during that inquest, it was said that Ronald had a failed career in insurance. 3 years later, Jack married another woman and the two had children together. And he reportedly didn't tell his family about any of this. He didn't tell them about Christina, about her death, nothing. The family only found out when they were in the library one day and came across an article, just by accident, I guess. And they said they never really pressed him about it or asked him any questions, and he later died in 1998. Ronald later moved to New York and was basically never heard from again. Today, the site of the honeymoon cabin reportedly has a pretty eerie feel. Some locals say that if you stand by the water at dusk, some have heard the sound of a woman calling out for help, which is really eerie. Christina Kettlewell was a bride for 8 days, and people still want to know what happened at that honeymoon cabin. As always, I would love to hear your thoughts and theories on this old mystery. Let me know in the comments. Do you believe it was an accident or something more sinister?